Hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us on this special day where we seek to be those who are in the world but not of the world, or I suppose authentic followers of Jesus, true disciples. And this has become so much more important, I suppose, in terms of our comparison to the world in these last days. We are living at a time when the world is shifting very rapidly away from Judeo-Christian values. And so we as a church have an amazing opportunity to show the richness and value of who Jesus wants us to be, the glory of the gospel, the transformation of our lives, the reason for the hope we have in us. And the way we do this is we live in the world, but not of the world. One of the great areas of focus for us as a congregation, and you will know this if you're here, is on the topic of marriage. In fact, we want to have conferences to help marriages to be healthy. We want to show others how God has so displayed his love in us that we can love one another. We want to have a biblical understanding of marriage and what it means so that we can show the radical difference in the world we live in. More and more, this is difficult because we swim in the world and because the world really gives us a perspective of love and of marriage and of commitment that is so different from the Bible that it is confusing for those who are not word saturated but tend to be in the world and of the world. So how do we fight back? And one of our answers is we have marriage conferences where we seek to display how we can love one another, communicate more effectively, live in a healthy way as broken people. But another way is to really explain what marriage is biblically. Oh, for the world, it's a short-term commitment. It's a desire to be with one person exclusively until you don't feel like it anymore. And they've even in these last few years, and this is different than really all of recorded history, decided that it can be between two people of the same gender. And there's all sorts of confusion and chaos that is going on. And I suppose we should expect that from the world, and we don't need to spend our time condemning the world for them being different than the Bible, for they are different than the Bible. But we have to make sure that we understand who God has called us to be and how God has called us to live and to serve and to be a part of his work in our lives and then in the world, but not of the world. And so as we have seen this definition of marriage, and certainly marriage is under attack, and it's certainly not the first time, I want to ask a question, why? Why is this? Why is marriage one of those things in the world that gets such attention and such attack, and really with anger and vitriol if we take a position biblically rather than culturally? And I think the answer is because God created marriage as something to be special and a lifelong commitment and covenant between one woman and one man and their God. It's a precious gift from creation for those who are created in the image of God. And it solves so many things that are so important to solve. There was that statement from God, it is not good for man to be alone in Genesis. And of course, that repeated in Matthew chapter 19. But it's not only that it's a creation ordinance, it's not only that it gives us the value of family and reproduction, which I think is important in the context of family to realize those things and to value those as Christians. Children are important to God and important to followers of God. But it's also because of what marriage pictures. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us that marriage is to be a picture, a photograph, as it were, I suppose a living photograph, maybe a video, to the world of what the relationship is between Jesus and his church. Now, I want to do a full stop because it's shocking, actually, when we start to read Ephesians 5 and understand a little bit more of why marriage exists. It's shocking because it's so selfless and so centered on God. It's shocking because it's so different than what the world has told us and lied to us. It's not about us. It's shocking because of its purity, and the world is so filled with affairs and premarital sex and pornography and all the things that attack what God wants. And it's shocking because ultimately marriage is not about our happiness, although a good marriage certainly adds to our happiness, but it's rather about the glory of God and the beauty of his love and the picture of the church's response to Jesus and all that that carries with it. And so I suppose if you're in the world and of the world, this will be a very shocking podcast for you. For often people have looked at what the Bible says about marriage and said it's archaic. And I would argue, I suppose it is archaic because it dates back to the purpose of God in creation, but it's also, with the right view of God, good. And the demonic realm loves to attack marriage in two extremes. The one is to make it a place of abuse and shame and where men dominate. And we have called this historically, I suppose, in a negative way, the patriarchal way of understanding marriage. On the other extreme, the egalitarian extreme, it's just a place to enjoy and to be satisfied for a short term, and it doesn't really matter who is in it or how long they're in it, and it's all about me and my rights and my privileges and my feelings, and when those aren't met, then it's something I can turn my back on. Marriage is so much more than that biblically, and of course we want to avoid the extreme, so let me say this. As we get into this, the first thing you should do if you're in a marriage that is struggling is cry out for help. Don't isolate. And I would say, especially in our world, and of course we use the term abuse so widely now that I would want to be careful with its use and define it well. And this is not the purpose of this podcast. But if you feel you are in a marriage where there is a struggle and you might even use that term, may I encourage you, challenge you, plead with you, ask for help immediately. Call the church office if you're a part of our family, and we will seek to help you and protect you and provide a place of safety for you. Marriage God's way is a place where those who love God can flourish. It's a place where you can find a satisfaction, a delight, a joy, and a privilege of serving God and serving the other person. So I want to ask the question, in the context of Ephesians 5, how do we have these kind of marriages? And obviously, we need to work like the world on our own brokenness and desire to communicate better. And obviously, there's differences physically and spiritually and emotionally between men and women. We need to understand those. And hopefully, at our conference, you can get some of those tools of communication and valuing. But I want to say that the first and most important thing in a healthy marriage is a gospel experience. What I mean by that is you understand your own brokenness before God, your own depravity, what you deserve before a holy God of the Bible, and then you experience His love and grace and offer that to those who are in the context of relationships with you, especially those closest to you, your wife, your children, your parents. And it's so important that this experience of the gospel transforms us. I was teaching at a conference. It was a Gospel Coalition conference in another part of Canada, and the passage they gave me was from Colossians, and it was a passage about family and women submitting. And I remember saying to the person in charge of the conference, why couldn't you have given me Colossians 3? We're memorizing that as a church. It's so wonderful, so Christocentric. Why couldn't you give me Colossians 1, the supremacy of God? And it's so amazing. Or even some of the things in Colossians chapter 2 are so powerful. And I'm kind of complaining to him. And I realize now that the context of relationships in marriage that are healthy has to be the gospel, the self-sacrificial love, the experience of grace so that we offer grace. And so I would say to you, if you're struggling at all in your marriage, the place to start is your relationship with God. And I would even say the place to stay so that you experience His grace. You're loyal to Him. You have that covenant relationship with Him that is by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast, but the gift of God, and then see yourself as His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for you to do. So if you're struggling in your marriage, the first and most important thing is your walk with God. The second is what we term discipleship, although that is a strange word, I suppose, in our culture and misunderstood. Follow Jesus. Make sure your first and passionate priority is that relationship with God. The relationship that you then grow in by spending time with His people and in His word and in prayer and preaching the gospel to yourself every day and fixating your life on Him. If you get the gospel right, and if you're a true follower of Jesus, and that's a gospel experience and a following of Jesus that impacts your life and makes you holy and self-sacrificially loving, then when it comes to God's view of marriage, it actually is fairly simple and accomplishable in the power of the Holy Spirit. Third thing, just foundationally, if you're struggling in your marriage, and all of us to some degree do at times, gospel experience, the discipleship of following of Jesus and all of life, and then make sure your view of God is correct. And by this I mean, God is who He says He is, and He's revealed to us what is very best. He is a good God, and His view of marriage is way better than culture's. Now, I suppose, stepping back from all of this, you could see that so clearly. The view of marriage of the culture is not a view that produces happiness or joy. And although there are some good marriages of non-Christians, it's not what I'm fighting. Long-term covenant commitment in a way that a man is loving his wife as Christ loved the church and a woman is responding, a wife is responding in submission as a church submits to God, is where true joy and happiness and delight can be found. And so I'd encourage you that it comes from believing what God has said is true and right and then following him and knowing in that, that even as you struggle forward, sometimes in the brokenness of your own sin, sometimes in the brokenness of the sin that the person you're married, that God is right always and his view of marriage is right always. So if you have those foundational things, what should you do next? And I think it's to go to the Bible and say, what is marriage according to God? What is it for? And here's the profoundness of Ephesians chapter 5, the mystery, as it says, of the whole view of marriage. And that is that God has decided to make this about him, about picturing to the world, and we've talked about this, the beauty of a husband's love for his wife, showing the love of Jesus for the church, the sanctifying, the providing and protecting of her, the cherishing of her, like a warm blanket, the value placed by God upon his precious children, his brothers, if we're talking about Jesus. And then the wife's trusting response to say, I will submit, I will follow, not in a negative word. All of us as Christians are called to submit. And it's so important that we read this in the context of the rest of the Bible, but this is good. So we trust him. We experience his grace. We then choose to live out what he desires as best for us in a world that is hurting and needs this picture to show how awesome God is. So may I encourage you, if you know him, get to know him better, delight in him, follow him, become word saturated, not world saturated, so that you can live your life in a way that obeys him. If you're married, that shows this as a man by loving your wife as Christ loved the church and seeking to sanctify her by washing her with the word of God, with a walk that sees her flourish in every area of her life for the glory of God as God defines it. And if you're a wife, to join in and to support and to help and to do so in such a way that shows your equality and value, dignity and worth and difference in role. And if you're facing the world and their view of marriage, display the beauty of what it means to be in a godly, biblical marriage so that those who are struggling perhaps with their view of a man and a man or a woman or even the accusations of patriarchy or egalitarianism, we show and display by our love, by our health, by our choices, the greatness of what God has given to humanity. And even more so, the beauty of a love of the Savior for his church and the church's response in joyful submission. I think it's so important that we also, in this day and age, teach this to our children and also show and display in our teaching and modeling what it means to be healthy and to define marriage correctly and to pursue this in a healthy way. And just a few notes as we close. Again, reminder, if you're struggling in your marriage, the first thing you need to do is reach out to God. The second, reach out for help. So gospel orientation, discipleship, absolutely, but ask for help, especially if it's a marriage where you would define it in some way as abusive. Get help. Talk to your pastor. Talk to a counselor. Get help immediately. If it's physical, phone the police. Get help immediately. If you're in a marriage where you're struggling because of your own flesh, your own selfishness, submit to God fully and choose to do your role, even if the person you're married to is not choosing to do theirs. Obviously, get help with someone who's discipling them, but your responsibility is to God first. And so choose, instead of being negative about your spouse, to be positive about God and trust him completely and pray and live out what he has called you to do. I often talk to men, as I disciple men who are husbands, and when they complain to me about their wives, and often their complaints are probably true, I remind them that our call is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I've sought to do that for over 30 years now and am not even close to where God wants me to be. So I find, at least for me, when I'm evaluating my amazing wife, if there's anything she ever does, it is remotely not what I would want. If I can focus on my own desire to serve her and to love her and to live in a way that self-sacrificially helps her to flourish as God wants her to, it removes negativity very, very quickly, replaces it with humility and a passion to be who God wants me to be. And I would say the same Certainly, 1 Peter would talk about this in 1 Peter 3. I would say the same to wives. This is your opportunity to serve God and to serve him in such a way that displays the beauty of who he is. For those who struggle with singleness, it's good to remember what the Bible says, and that is that singleness is a place to focus. It's not something to be avoided. I think marriage is a good thing. Marriage is God's best for most. But there are some, like the Apostle Paul, who singleness gives you an opportunity to so fixate yourself on the gospel and the greatness of God's work that you can serve him more exclusively. And Paul certainly declares that. And so I would declare it as well. If you're single, don't get caught up in marriage is the only thing that will ever make you happy. God is the only one who will ever make you satisfied and joyful. So fixate there. And again, our privilege. We want to be those who are in the world, but not of the world. And essential in that is some of these battlegrounds of history where the ditches of the demonic are so pervading. The ditch of abuse, I suppose, on the one side, or patriarchalism. The ditch of egalitarianism on the other, where there's really no difference at all, and we're all just kind of coasting through the world and a commitment to our own selves. Or the beauty of a biblical marriage where Christ and the church are displayed by husbands and wives, where the husband is loving his wife as Christ loved the church, the wife is submitting to her husband as to the church submits to Christ, and there's this sanctification beautiful that goes on. So I encourage you, in marriages that are difficult because we are broken in a fallen world, pursue Jesus. Walk with him and after him. Live your life for his glory and in your marriage to display to the world the wonder and beauty of the gospel and your satisfaction and selflessness in a place that is so different from the world that they will wonder and ask us the reason for the hope that we have in us. Live for Jesus. Live according to his word. And in those things, be ready to explain to those around you who are so confused by what the world is declaring as good that is evil, that this is why we live this way, for the glory of our God, in selflessness, radical God-centeredness, and a passion for all to see the glory of our King.